due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Hey, it's WWE superstar Kofi Kingston, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK, Rochester Sports Talk. Listen and feel the pain.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Hey, welcome to the Pain Clinic for the Saturday before Christmas. I feel honored that everybody made it up here. We are on Facebook Live. That's the only way you're watching us live right now. So if you are a fan of the Pain, because to 10 o'clock, we're doing the Gary Mervis Camp Good Days and Special Times special we do every year, which is 3 hours of talking and helping Gary get, you know, expose and show, you know, what great things he does, as well as maybe get some money too. But this is the Pain Clinic. We're here to talk about wrestling. And before I introduce the cast and crew, I want to let you know that I want to welcome you to the show for December 20th. Holidays today. It's Monkey Day.
It's the 21st.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I got the wrong one. It printed up the wrong one. So, son of a gun. Hold on. I got different days that do not show up on the list I have right now. This will be an edit I will do when I get home with this later.
No editing. Going live.
No.
We're live on Facebook Live.
Let's do it live. Okay, hold on. Welcome to the... Today is holiday... I was saying, holidays today, crossword puzzle day. It's Forefathers Day, Humbug Day. Why would that be Humbug? I mean, we're close to Christmas. And Look at the Bright Side Day and National Flashlight Day. We want to send out happy birthday to four incredible talents. We have Mauro Ranallo is 50 today. Hopefully, doesn't affect his mental state with the stuff he's doing. But Primo Colon, who's at home, is 37. Oney Lorcan is 34 today, man with a new contract, I believe, right?
Recently, yes.
Yeah. And Otis Dozovic, whatever. Okay, you know Otis, the big guy. Got a big hug from Mandy last night on SmackDown, if you saw it. He is, how old do you think he is?
He's only like 28 or something, isn't he?
You hit it right on the knob. All right. So, hey, welcome to the show. I am the Cash Man. I'm joined by Danger Boy.
Good morning.
We're joined by Double B Brian Burke.
Good morning.
Peter Burke's here. And in the studio, special guest, fresh in from North Carolina, DC Dan Cole.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. DC, you ready?
I would like to thank the owners of the building for preparing for my return by turning off the elevators and making me climb 16 flights of stairs.
Yeah, that's not good whatsoever. So
they'll probably be like Ken Jeong in the Hangover movies. But did you die? No, not yet.
It's very cool. Well, you did. You made it. You know, like you said, you got your cardio in for the day. You know,
I'm good to go.
It's a Saturday before the Christmas holiday. You and the doctor have traveled up here from North Carolina.
It's true.
Isn't it funny saying that now?
It is weird. I can't wait till the mail starts getting addressed to Dr. and Mr. Cole.
Dr. and Mr. Cole. Yeah, I didn't think about that one. You know, but you know, it's pretty cool. If you're a Doctor Who fan, it's pretty cool too. You know, I guess you can call her the Doctor. You can do all sorts of renovations. And she didn't come with you, which I'm kind of bummed, because I want to get a picture with a doctor that I know that's not, you know, taking my money.
Maybe I can convince her to come next week.
Oh, that'd be great.
What about Dr. Love? You got a picture with him?
Yeah.
We're just not
But
gonna...
do you when you get those honorary doctors, I don't count them, you know? You know, Harvard.
Wait, so it's been a lie this whole time?
I don't know. He did have a nurse, though, so I don't know. But let me do my plugs real quick, then we'll get into the world of pro wrestling. Join us January 18th for UFC 246 at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. That's January 18th, and the main event is, that's right, Conor McGregor taking on Cowboy. Sorry. Taking on Cowboy. It's going to be a pack. Get there early. Come hang out with us. We'll have a good time. It's January 18th. We get almost a whole month between UFCs here, which is great.
Hopefully it's not like 6 hours like the last one.
Oh, my goodness. When you have 3 5-round main events to end the show, and then two of them go the distance, and the last one ends in the fifth round, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're walking out. But that's okay, because if you like that stuff, you know, if you don't have to get up at like 5 in the morning or whatever, then, you know, that's great. It was a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody who came out last week. It was a pretty good crowd there, I would say. Beyond that, let's talk about the world of professional wrestling. We had a interesting week this past week. I'll start off with talking about our good friend, the Artiste, who will not be calling us and talking about today because he should be with us in the studio next week with DC. It's almost going to be like, almost like a family reunion, kind of, you know, with everybody here. If the doctor comes with you, and then we're going to do our painies. Which,
that's right. We'll have the polls up after today's show.
That's right. Very cool. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But we will say that this week AEW was in Corpus Christi, and that's where the Artiste does his magic in hockey, and also he was integral in them getting there early in the town, setting up, helping out with the show, and he had some great seats, and I'm sure he'll talk to us all about it next week. You see that he gave Cody Rhodes a jersey. I'm sure you've seen a million of those pictures. And, it was a good crowd there, too. Pretty good, don't you think?
It was pretty solid.
Yeah, it looked solid to me, too. It looked like they're, it was a loud crowd. And, you know, they hated the people they should hate, except for they don't like the people they should like, apparently, sometimes. But
well, that's because there's some people who you're supposed to like that have given you no reason to like them.
True.
It's part of the lack of that. That's my one criticism with AEW, other than that random people in masks don't know how to throw punches, is that.
Well, that's only when there's a mosh going on and there's 40 people in the ring. You know.
He's definitely just laying. I'm watching it right now because it's being made fun of.
Okay. Well, I've seen it. I saw it this morning. Yeah, the reacting and not being anywhere near him with the swings. Yes.
Poor Dustin.
Yeah. Well, he's doing what he was supposed to do. It's just the guy who was.
Doesn't know how to throw punches.
Obviously. To be fair, he is a member of the Dark Order, so maybe he has like a phantom punch where like the breeze coming off of his swings are so powerful.
What'd you guys feel about that segment at the end of the show with the Dark Order? Did I get a straight, and this is me, and I'm probably completely wrong, but do I think it's Diamond Dallas Page under that mask? The leader of the Dark Order?
Well, the Dark Order already had their...
Oh, they already been unmasked?
Well, they had the one guys... They've wrestled.
Yeah, I know they've wrestled, but it's there was 45 guys out there in masks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of probably indie guys that were around or something
I just think the one guy who grabbed the mic and started talking sounded like Diamond Dallas Page, so...
I will say that they've been trying to get this Dark Order thing over, and it's really not...
Well, I mean, you have a great match going on, and then they come out and interrupt it at the end, and the thing about it is nobody cared. I have one other criticism of this past week's show. I know that, and that I will say, God bless him, but man, Jim Ross, when you get someone's name wrong and you're stumbling after it, he did it a few times during the show. He got
I have
the
couple.
Butcher and the Blade. He was mixing them up the whole match, it just, and he just kind of like makes excuses while he's after he's like correcting himself. You know, I think someone's in his head. So,
well, I mean, even with that, I have a few issues with AEW currently. They don't have very good storytelling for most of their characters. Chris Jericho and Cody Rhodes being probably the lone exceptions. And it looks like they're giving Adam Page something to do, which is good. But they also,
well, it looks like they're setting up an Adam Page versus Kenny Omega. It looks like they were working towards that. So
yeah,
is the camera messed up?
But I also
no volume. Oh. Someone's listening. Hey, sorry about that, folks.
My other criticism is that especially with the Butcher and the Blade, you bring them in, you're just starting to get them to have fan recognition and everything like that after they didn't have the greatest debut, and you go out there and beat them clean.
Yeah. You know, I mean, everyone.
Especially when they can actually. It's a good tag team. It's someone that you can rely on later down the line, and you go out there and you beat them clean with a hodgepodge team.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. It's like. I question why some people are brought up in WWE and then they have them lose out until they start winning finally. I hope that's not the attitude in which they do with AEW, with some of the guys they're bringing in. But Danny, what'd you think about this past show? There's lots of, like, Jericho had some good segments on it. We got to, we mentioned the Dark Order and stuff.
I mean, let me say this. When this started, if you would have asked me that Chris Jericho would be the most reliable must-see portion every week, I wouldn't have, not once would I have guessed that. Not with the star power they established themselves with. But I think we might be seeing where having an established non-wrestling creative team maybe might be a little bit of a benefit.
Sure.
So now I think we know that the perfect balance has to be somewhere in between what AEW is doing and what WWE is doing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they're struggling. And I don't know if it was this week or last week when the story broke that, you know, Jericho had kind of a locker room meeting with everybody and specifically called out the tag team division.
I think that was 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Saying, you know, you're in tag team matches. Start acting like it.
Yeah.
Start tagging in and out.
Don't be individual wrestlers out there. Right. Like most of them are, you know.
Well, and the problem is they're burying the refs by not following the rules.
Right.
True, you know, and it's interesting. I sat and watched AEW with 2 weeks ago with Artiste and a bunch of wrestling guys from Rochester, and it's like they definitely have their opinions on what was going on in there too. And I will say, now is that an explanation for why NXT beat AEW this past week by so much?
Well, NXT also had two really good title matches and actually a really good show all the way through.
Yeah, I know. I liked the title matches, but I was unhappy with the results of them. But
well, that's because you were calling for a Adam Cole loss last week when everyone else told you were incorrect.
Okay, fine.
I think NXT is succeeding because it has the three things you need. You need the talent to carry things over. You need the matches that people want to see, and you need to have direction for everybody involved. And that's something that's not lacking there. It's the most well-rounded, put-together show on TV between all of the wrestling groups.
Yeah, I have to agree with you because AEW would be doing much better if they had probably at least a couple of creative directors in there because they started with you're starting from scratch, so you have no storylines to start with, and only a couple people have been able to create their own.
Well, they tried to start them off of the pay-per-views, that pay-per-view they had, and then the one after it, and you know, then they crowned Jericho, but I mean Jericho,
which your hardcore fans know about. But you're trying to gain audience, and to do that, you got to have some sort of storyline that they can relate to because they're only watching the week to week.
And it's the Artiste made a point to mention on his personal Facebook this week that, you know, Corpus Christi crowd's been called out for not being loud and not being responsive, being a terrible wrestling crowd. But this week they were loud and everything. It's because it's a different crowd that's there. It's not the casual fans that go to an AEW show. You're going to get some that go to the AEW show now because they're catching it on TV, but obviously that crowd is not sticking around and watching TV that often with AEW kind of. I mean, TNT's happy with the ratings. They were thinking 500,000 people. So they're thrilled with the ratings. They're still getting above that and everything, but they're petering out and they're flatlining at the level they're at right now, and they're not keeping up with NXT, and it's because they have no stories. You don't know why you're supposed to like or hate anybody other than Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho.
Yeah, and I mean, and if anybody remembers Chris, last time Cody Rhodes was on a national platform,
he was Stardust.
I count Ring of Honor, his run in Ring of Honor as well, and also Impact. He was a heel, a huge heel. And so, I mean, maybe that's the last thing they remember about him. And I thought that he was starting off the show as a heel, but he actually was facing. I mean, he does get the face pop. He has the best entrance in that company, okay? Nobody else has the stage set move for them when they're coming out, you know? So it is like a show that's focused on him. I will say that that's a nasty cut he has above his eye. Do you see that the way that was healing, the scar?
Oh, yeah.
That's vicious. I wonder how bad that guy. I mean, he's going to need plastic surgery or something to fix that. But I will say that, yeah, you know, you're right. And there's not, you know, there's a lot of unfamiliarity. I mean, that's why they were bringing people out. Like we got Vicky Guerrero last week and Diamond Dallas Page a couple weeks ago.
They're bringing these people out to do like commentary on AEW Dark on YouTube, which is also only going to hit a certain segment of the fans.
True. And they do. I was watching last week's and it was pretty good. But you're right. It's just, you know, it's a growth process. And, I mean, they understand that they're, you know, they're not touring, you know. So they know that the revenue is not going to come from that, you know.
They currently have no plans to tour.
Yeah, that's what I was reading that. It's like, but I mean, eventually they're going to have to. But, you know, but.
Well, I mean, currently WWE doesn't make any money touring either.
True. Yeah.
And unless they go to Saudi Arabia, they lose money touring.
Well. I mean, that helps build their product, though, you know? I mean, especially because the live events are better than the TV shows most of the times anyways. But you know, I think AEW is going through some growing pains. But I think that everyone, you're right, like you said, TNT is happy with them. I mean, I see now that their promos are now airing on Comedy Central. You know, all the properties that are owned by, you know, they're on every, you know, every channel they can possibly get them on. Which I'm sitting up in the middle of the night watching Adult Swim, and there I see a Chris Jericho promo starting a commercial spot. So it's either that or poor dogs and sad music, you know. But I will say that you know, it was you know, I like them a lot. I want them to come here. Really, I think this Blue Cross Arena is a perfect size for them. I think they would do well here.
I think it's actually a little big for them.
You think it's too big?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Corpus Christi's not that big, so I don't think it was. It looked pretty packed.
They've been running, I think, an arena that holds like 5,000 is perfect for them.
Well, they just sold out their Revolution pay-per-view.
That's a pay-per-view.
And that's different. In Chicago.
Yeah. And it's not the Sears Tower, though. It's a different building than they've been running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it did sell out. So that's, you know, and they put out a press release this past week. Saying that they reached 100,000 live event tickets sold, which, you know, if you think about how many events they really had this past year, it's just one a week, you know, since October. And then beyond that, it was two events, I believe. So
it's been 16 live events.
16 live events. So they made 100,000 ticket sales in 16 live events. That's pretty good numbers, I think.
That's pretty solid. I mean, yeah. It's I bet WWE is pulling about the same right now. If you go per show, they're probably doing less if you count the house shows. But if you're going even TV and whatnot, they're probably pulling about the same for Raw and SmackDown.
I think that's an important milestone for them, is to show that they are drawing at least even in on the road with WWE, with you know, the live ticket returns and stuff. So, obviously it's important enough that they put a press release out about it. So.
Well, when you need good news, you need good news.
True. You got to find some good news. You know, I agree. And it's like, and I will say that, you know, there's some things on the show that I kind of tune me out as soon as I start seeing them. And I don't want to be like a naysayer or anything, but one of them, it might be the wife of a guy who's the biggest star in the company.
Yeah, that whole thing's not making much sense right now, and I love Awesome Kong.
Well, you hear when she complained about the microphone not working this past week when it started, her promo was supposed to start? Because there was technical difficulties. If you were watching the show this past week, all of a sudden in the middle of a match, there was like a promo that popped up for a second and disappeared. So they're kind of, like I said, growing pains. So
here's a perfect example just to kind of tie everything together. So we have the Painies. We'll have the nominations up today. We'll do the awards next week. I am sitting here with everything AEW has done. I'm sitting here looking at our column for Male Superstar of the Year, and this is a perfect encapsulation of their issues. I think Kenny Omega has won this the last 2 years.
Oh, he won't even be on the list.
He's not even a nominee this year. How does that happen?
Yeah, it's
you have arguably the best professional wrestler in the world, and you've made him an afterthought.
Well, the problem is he also has problems connecting with the U.S. fans. And he has, other than the hardcore fans that watch the Japanese stuff and watch his matches, he doesn't connect. He's got nothing. He hasn't connected at all.
Well, I'll say also he took some time off too. He was not on every week. You know, I mean, the first time we saw him, we got to see Jon Moxley suplex him through a glass table in like a executive suite at the arena. Beyond that, I mean, he was gone for a while. So I think they need to re-educate us. And I know that they're starting to do some promos with him where he's like kind of, you know, being flippant in the gym and stuff.
Well, I also think they're gonna have him and Adam Page at some point go at each other.
Well, they started to at the end of their tag match,
which should help both of them, because Adam Page, with the slow heel turn, is actually getting a little more intriguing than he was.
Kind of, you know, it kind of reminds me of when we mentioned a slow heel turn. We'll talk about it later, but something that's going on in WWE. I'm kind of like jumping the gun and making a prediction of something that's going to happen maybe this week, maybe next week. But we'll talk about it in just a little bit. I want to continue on AEW just because they are, you know, I mean, do the numbers mean that, you know, because they could lose out to NXT, does that mean anything? And now we know for a fact that I think next week's show has already been taped. I think it's the best of AEW on Christmas night.
It's the best of AEW and NXT taped some matches last night, and I didn't see them tape the Roddy Strong open challenge, though, so.
Huh.
We'll see. We'll see when they get that taped, or if they've already taped it.
Are they going to make them work on Christmas?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. 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 They're doing a show in the can, though.
Yeah.
I think everybody's working New Year's Day, though.
I know that WWE is definitely. So NXT. But I will tell you, NXT, the intrigue they've brought up. You know, and Danny, you haven't been around much, but if you've listened to the show at all in the last few months, you know that how I've talked about how NXT has been taken from just the developmental to it's on an even playing field with Raw and SmackDown. And now you can't go back. So it's not the place to develop characters anymore, with the 2 hours they have every week or 2 hours and 10 minutes, whatever. But that makes me think I know they use Evolve is probably one of their developmentals coming up, but is that a good thing or a bad thing to put NXT on the same platform against Raw and SmackDown, especially with that last, not the last pay-per-view, because TLC you can forget about. It was done by 10:15 and there was nothing that dramatic, and except for Daniel Bryan with the short hair. But the one before that where we had NXT come out ahead of everybody in the the head-to-heads. What was it? Night of Champions? No.
Survivor Series.
Survivor Series. That's what it was. Yeah, and Survivor. So, what do you think, Danny? About at least that's my opinion. Is that valid, or is it still developmental? People will eventually want to move to one of Raw or SmackDown off that show. That's given equal parallel television footing.
No, I think you have to consider it on even footing, and I hope they do treat it as such. Because as someone who favors NXT above everything else, I think that's kind of our wish. I think that's what we wanted. How often have we sat here and said, just leave NXT alone. Leave NXT alone. And how often have we dreaded certain superstars getting called up and wasted or ruined? Now I think this is a chance where we don't have to suffer that. And I think that's ideal.
Yeah,
I really do.
And I do. I just kind of, you know what it means when it gets put on an even platform. It means that Vince is sitting at the gorilla position. It means Vince has more hands-on on what goes on the programming. And I think that – I don't know if I feel that that's been true yet, but, he is not going to let something, and that's – they go all the way back to Buffalo, the SmackDown event in which nobody could be here. And then NXT showed up. They said that's the day that NXT was put on an even footing with everything else.
I think NXT was put on an even footing with everything else the day it had the same amount of time as SmackDown on live TV on Wednesday.
True, but when they came in and took over SmackDown, this is on Fox too, which Fox could not be happy about. They're so controlling and wanting to keep SmackDown stars on SmackDown, Raw and Raw and whatever. And then all of a sudden everybody from NXT is on SmackDown, which our friend Mike DiGiorgio did not like. I think everybody else did. I think what it is the more he watches it, the more he'll like it. So
let's just be honest and face facts. NXT is the only thing cool about WWE.
Currently, it's almost 100% true.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm sorry, and I will fully admit this. Having moved, and I don't make it appointment TV to watch Raw anymore. I don't make it appointment TV to watch SmackDown. I can't do it. I cannot sit through those programs anymore. But I can sit through NXT.
True, and.
And I also think you're going to see some people move. I can almost guarantee you're going to see Shayna Baszler go wrestle Becky Lynch.
And I'm hearing Adam Cole too. There's talk of him, or maybe Ciampa.
Ciampa said he would retire.
I know he said he would retire, but someone offers him a couple more zeros on his paycheck, he might change his mind.
I don't know. Is that a couple more zeros worth losing your career a lot quicker because you're working a lot more shows?
That's true.
That's why he said he went. That's why he said he refused.
But the thing is then why doesn't WWE send more talent there that they want to? There's so much talent getting paid that's not doing anything. You could put them on NXT.
Well, it could be people they've already given up on. I mean, there's people they've given up on.
We have heard that there's going to be more cuts coming. When? I don't know. Last week was the big Luke Harper, Sin Cara, and the Ascension. But there'll be more coming. So let's go on and talk about some other stuff. I know people probably said, well, you talk about that every week. But I will say one thing. What do you guys think about the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic that was announced and you know, with Cody and Dustin over on AEW, and they're still, because they have copyrighted the name Dusty Rhodes, they can use that. And
they don't own the copyright anymore, though.
They don't?
No, Cody bought it last year.
Well, then they made an announcement that probably they're going to have to rescind, or I don't know. Maybe
no, they can. They're not going to argue their dad's legacy being used that way. The problem I have with them announcing this tournament is they have two tag teams in NXT right now that are actual tag teams.
So what, you think they're going to draw back from the other shows?
They're going to do the same thing they always do, which is hodgepodge some people together.
Oh. Give some people some opportunities to wrestle on network TV that never had a chance before?
I think it'll be like people, you'll see teams like, and I'm not saying these people specifically, but it'll be like Pete Dunne and Damian Priest type deal where you can put together, and it's like they did with Finn Balor and Joe the first time.
I was going to say, the first ever winners were Finn Balor and Joe, a hodgepodge team.
True. And they do a lot of that. It's funny how you mentioned earlier that AEW, Chris Jericho talked to them about not really tag teams, and that's probably what's going to happen with this whole tournament too, is you're going to get one tag team that's a good tag team that'll win the whole thing. They have more than two, don't they? They've got
they got the Forgotten Sons and Undisputed Era,
and the I wanted to call them the Primetime Players, but they aren't the guy. But now they're on Raw.
Yeah, they're on Raw.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them. I mean, they were on Raw, and I saw them wrestle. It was like a month ago on NXT. They had a match.
Don't
so.
They still have Breezango?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, Breezango.
Yeah. By the way,
don't you dismiss Breezango like that?
They're coming January 12th to RiverWorks. We're going to go.
Breezango came out like doctors last week.
I know. Did you see that? I was like, who is that? Oh, it's because the haircuts. And
they were
everything.
Doing like General Hospital from the 80s.
It was, yeah. Well, they like entertainment, you know, but they're entertaining people. So that, yeah, I was wondering how you felt about that with the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Because
Cody straight up said the name Rhodes, they let the thing lapse, and then Cody ate it up, and he can be Cody Rhodes now, but he wants to make his own path.
Okay, so let's. So there's some other news, but I want to, before we get too deep, we're already 20 minutes into the show. We need to do the pain, talk about the painies. The painies for the 2019 painies.
No, 2020.
2020 painies. So we'll be actually doing it before 2020.
We're like the rest of the video games. I mean, what was this, Madden 20 we just had, and WWE 2K20 that's just failing miserably.
Straight up garbage.
I know, Danny. I've watched the videos. They're hilarious with the guys laughing when the things...
Ronda Rousey gets caught in the ropes and just starts twitching.
Yeah. All sorts of things like that. So, what categories do we have for the painies? We have the Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah, we're gonna go with our same categories we did last year. So, you're gonna have your male superstar of the year, your female superstar of the year, your tag team, faction, match, event, promotion, moment, and breakout star.
And this has been a very important year in the world of wrestling. So there's so much more.
So we can all agree that the match year with Seth Rollins and The Fiend at Hell in a Cell, right?
I'm going to counter with Undertaker Goldberg.
Oh. That's a tough choice.
Should that be a category this year? Worst match of the year?
How about you have like worst Goldberg match of the year? Because you could also put in Dolph Ziggler.
I like the Dolph Ziggler match.
Yeah.
That's what Goldberg's for.
The Dolph Ziggler was like doing the Shawn Michaels to Hulk Hogan in that match, you know? Selling, overselling.
See, and I've already started to jot down some notes. So, like, for moment of the year, I don't know if I want to take it serious or comical.
Okay.
So my two options right now are women main eventing WrestleMania, or Chris Jericho's first 48 hours as AEW champion.
Well, we got a lot of catchphrases out of that.
He got some catchphrases, and he lost the damn belt.
Yeah, he lost the damn belt. Yeah. He drank too much of the bubbly. And, you know, it's funny now. Every time I hear some bubbly mentioned in anything else, it's like, oh, this was like 20
He's
years.
He's selling bubbly now.
Yeah. You can buy the.
It's selling well, too.
It's very expensive.
They probably just went and bought, like, $1.99 champagne.
Put it in a wood box.
Slapped a Chris Jericho label on it. What are they selling it for?
I don't even know.
I think it was like, it was between 80 and 100 bucks per bottle. And they sold them.
It's still no Fiend title.
And they sold them in twos. They sold them in twos, so you'd have to buy two if you bought them.
Danny, that's what you're getting for Christmas, right? That Fiend title.
You know, I've always wanted my wife to buy me a belt for Christmas. If she bought me that one, I would send it back.
You don't like the giant face and teeth?
Not for $5,000.
$6,500.
$6,500. That's right.
After taxes and shipping, you're looking at $8,000.
Oh man. So no, do we take nominations, or I can't remember how we did it last year, or do we just put?
We came
up
with the nominations ourselves. The nominations,
okay, yeah. So I guess we can definitely do that.
It will be going up later.
Yeah, it'll be up later. You'll find the link. I'll put the link actually on our website because actually once in a while you can do stuff like that on it, and I should up more often. But that and our Facebook page and stuff. But
inundate your social media with our links.
Yes, mm-hmm. And you only have a week. This is going to be a week because we're gonna have the winners next week.
And then Brian's gonna pay to have it sponsored, so we can just have it everywhere.
You can have it everywhere.
Anytime someone says pain, it'll pop up with the painies in your Facebook feed.
Oh yeah. I'm tired of Facebook already knowing what I'm thinking when it's throwing ads at me. Okay. But I'm looking forward to this.
It's a lot of selfie sticks, Cash?
No. Yeah. Is anybody watching us right now on Facebook Live? Can you tell if anybody?
I can't see from here because I'm blind.
Okay. Furby was.
Furby's not here today. He'll be here next week, though. We'll have a crowded house if the artiste makes it, too. But
there'll be some tonnage in this room.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, we're going to – it'll probably be more people in that room than we've ever had in that room. And I've said that before when we've had way too many people. We had the boxer – or no, when we had Coco Beware, Greg Valentine.
Oh, yeah, that was a crowded house.
Yeah, it was. There was like
– Tito Santana.
Tito Santana. And some of them couldn't be anywhere near the mics because, I mean, Greg Valentine was sitting up against the window here pretty much. But so we got that going on. Definitely want to let people know, check out –
that means we got to dress nice next week.
Oh, that's right.
Wear your finest, or whatever I packed in my suitcase. That's my finest. You might get my Crispus T-shirt.
And this was kind of like, we didn't decide it. Did we? When did we decide? A couple yesterday was it? We decided we wanted to do this.
Yeah.
So we didn't. So Danny, you didn't have much of a heads up to put in a nice shirt.
And, yeah, I had already packed.
Yeah.
And driven here. My wife had already packed.
Yeah.
And what's that?
Who's the amateur sitting to my left who's playing the video while we're on the air?
Facebook. Yeah.
I thought I had it on mute. Yeah, I'm an
amateur. It's like, wow, we were in a time warp.
Yep.
So
flashback. I must have said something really good.
Isolated. All right. So let's do some other news, some other stuff we want to talk about. Thoughts, Danny, since you weren't here last week, on Luke Harper?
Glad they finally released him.
You know,
hope to see him land somewhere where he's happy and utilized. Instead of just, you know,
he just celebrated a birthday this past week too.
You know, I saw a Dave Meltzer pointed this out. By releasing him when they did, they literally gave him 17 extra days of freedom. Really? That was it.
That was it.
Because the 90 days runs out 17 days before he would have been out of contract.
Hmm. I wonder if he gets paid on the no compete when he's sitting out the no compete. Because I mean, if you aren't allowed to work, you should be getting money then. You know,
I think you get your downside. Maybe I'm not 100% sure on how it works, but if you can't work, they can't make you not work if they're not paying you. But then again, they're also independent contractors, which makes no sense. So
because they're not technically they're not employed by the company. They just show up and get a paycheck,
but can't work for anybody else.
Nope, can't work for anybody else,
which is 100% against what an independent contractor is. But
and don't forget, WWE can be quite petty. Wasn't it Dean Ambrose that talked about during his home stretch, like they were paying him like $400
Yeah, $500 down, you know, downside. That whole special they did for them and the last stand of the Shield and everything in that house show, he got paid $500.
That is insane.
Stay classy, WWE.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well. You know, they got that $1 billion contract from Fox. I think they could afford to pay a little bit.
They got that Saudi oil blood money coming in, too.
That, too. Yeah, that. So.
Oh, no, they just paid Dana Brooke for a 5-year contract. It might be all used up.
So does that mean Batista's coming back?
Yeah. I thought he retired after his loss to Triple H.
You know. Yeah, but now him and Dana Brooke.
Yeah, but
and Dana Brooke might be the best thing going in WWE right now.
That's very true.
That's one thing I wanted to bring up, Monday we have a tease on Monday Night Raw for the marriage of Bobby.
God.
It's going to be the not this Monday, but a week from Monday, the marriage of Bobby Lashley and Lana. And this is where I was mentioning the biggest double turn possibly could happen, and I could see it happening during this marriage ceremony. You know,
we're going to get a Rusev Bobby Lashley tag team.
No, we're going to get a Rusev, you know, and
I mean, in the match, not anything outside of the ring.
Oh, I don't know where you're going with that. I don't want a picture.
It's not Xavier Woods and Brad Maddox.
Tag team of the year. I'm putting them down.
Wow. Well, that's right. We're not on air this week. Okay.
Yeah. We can be a little more risque.
Wow. I will say that I think we'll have Rusev go with Lana, and then Bobby Lashley be left out in the cold, and it'll be like a slingshot to launch him.
Listen, Bobby Lashley has a lot of things going for him right now. He just won Masked Singer.
No. That was Wayne Brady, man.
Same person.
Wayne Brady on steroids. Yeah, it's true.
Is this like the whole Guy Fieri lead singer of Smash Mouth conspiracy?
Yes.
Have you ever seen him in the same place at the same time?
No, you're right. Oh, they are the same guy, aren't they?
And he thought he was slick by growing that beard out when he was Wayne Brady on Wednesday, but we know that was taped ahead of time, so.
Oh, sure. Sure. So, well.
He can grow that in a week.
That's what they need to do, is have Wayne Brady be the minister or something, you know? It'd be like the
Can they have Eric Bischoff be the minister and tell them they got 3 minutes?
Well, yeah, we got the mini-me going on. Eric Bischoff, why is he suddenly become the voice of reason out there? You know, when you read, you know, it's some of the things that are going on that he, like, you know, actually explains pretty simply, you know. I follow his Twitter.
Because he's willing to talk.
True, you know, and he's got a lot of time on his hand, you know. But some other things going on. So this past SmackDown, which was last night, Christopher DeJoseph was backstage, kind of getting caught up to snuff on the product. You might remember Christopher DeJoseph as the naked oily guy. Is that what he was? Naked
yeah.
oily guy? He would dance. He was the dance. Whenever they need a stripper, they always would have him.
What is his name? Dick Johnson?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Big Dick Johnson?
Yeah.
And we met him at a bar, I believe.
The same day we met Randy Orton.
Randy Orton and
Ken Kennedy, and their eyes were glazed over for some reason.
And Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy were out back.
And Farouk was at the bar.
Yeah, and Michael Cole was at the bar.
And apparently Vince McMahon was across the street.
Yeah, so, but we will say that that was a... it was a very interesting thing, but this dude's coming back now. He actually was writing for what was the show on?
Well, he was doing Lucha Underground for a while.
Yeah, Lucha Underground. He was writing for it.
And then he went and he was working with MLW for about a month and then left and went back to WWE after saying he was going to be in MLW for a while. So I'm kind of wondering what the fallout there was.
Yeah, he's a... I'm not sure what he has a signature writing things, you know, what he has his fingertips on, but at least it was more entertaining maybe 12, 15 years ago or 10 years ago whenever he was like one of the writers. As long as they don't have him come out doing the naked dancing oiled up dude, you know, which I'm sure we'll see that though because, you know, why not? He's done it before.
As long as Vince is in control.
We'll have some sort of flashback episode where they're like, you know, old school Raw, and then naked dancing guy.
He can be dancing with the hand.
Yeah. So some other news. Roman Reigns is going to be wrestling on Fox's New Year's Eve special, live from Times Square, approximately 8 o'clock on Tuesday, December 31st. No word on who he's wrestling, but they're going to add him into the Fox event. I believe they're actually their New Year's event ends at 10, and then they rerun it again or something. I don't know. It's like not a lot of people make it to midnight anymore. I don't know. It's tough. It's like you got to drink coffee in the night to stay awake sometimes. But right, well,
why are you projecting yourself on everybody else?
Well, you know, because everyone's getting old, aren't they? No? Okay. So we did talk about the Revolution pay-per-view being sold out. Ric Flair's contract's up apparently at the end of this year. I don't know what that meant. I don't know if he's on a Legends deal or what. I know the Legends deal were long term, weren't they?
Well, I know he's on the Jericho Cruise.
He's on the Jericho Cruise?
He is. He was one of the first people they announced when he first did it, even before they announced they were doing an episode live on there. So not live, but taped.
I mean, he also was on TV a couple weeks ago on WWE TV. So it's like, I mean, maybe he's just allowed to cross and do whatever he wants, you know? I think other people will get punished for showing up in AEW, you know, like Deon Diamondale's Page or Vicky Guerrero or... You know, I don't think, you know, you won't probably see them for a while. I mean, we heard things about they were upset that Billy Gunn had wrestled. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
You know, he wrestled a couple of weeks ago. He was part of the diamond match.
Yeah, the Battle Royal.
Battle Royal. So, yeah, they were upset that and I don't know why. Maybe they let him out of his contract early so he could go and be there, and he promised he wasn't going to do TV stuff, and then he did. I mean, he still looks like $1 million, you know?
Well, yeah, he still keeps himself in shape, but he's been backstage producer since day one.
Yeah, but they should use him in other aspects, you know? I mean, because he's so experienced, people know who he is, you know? That's another thing is, you know, there's a lot of people, they don't know who they are, you know? And that's one of those things that they're challenged to get over, and it's going to take a while, so.
And one of the hardest things with that is you have to have the person you don't know wrestle, work with someone you do know, and there's not that many people they do know, that the casual fan will know that's in AEW.
Okay.
Maybe you've heard of Kenny Omega. Maybe you've heard of the Young Bucks, but you haven't seen them. Maybe, I mean, you know who Chris Jericho is. You might know who Cody Rhodes is. You might remember Cody Rhodes from before he was doing the Stardust stuff. But, like, you don't know necessarily who MJF is. You're going to. Yeah. He makes sure you know who he is. I don't know why he wasn't on TV this week.
Yeah, I don't get that either. It's like this guy should be on. He should be on doing something. Even if it's just commentary, I think he would get over, you know? I don't know. I say you know too much. But nevertheless.
Just can I pop in real quick?
Yeah.
I just got a message that someone is going to break Danger Boy's other ankle for spoiling the Masked Singer.
The Masked Singer was...
It happened this week. It's not his
it
fault.
It was actually taped months ago, and yeah. It aired on Wednesday. If the show has aired, it's not a spoiler.
Well, we try to say
them's
that.
Fighting words.
So your other ankle will be broken.
If the show has aired, it's not a spoiler.
Yeah. That's what,
nobody spoils
that, that's what you say when you get your other ankle broken, okay? It's not a spoiler. Ow. Oh, man. So, hey, we got to get out of here because we're getting close to the end of it. I do want to thank everybody for listening, and don't forget to vote. Paneys will be up today. Today is Saturday, and we will definitely have it up. And we'll be back. Daniel will be back next week. Hopefully, the Artiste. We'll have, you know, a star-studded, action-packed crowd to watch on Facebook Live. There wasn't any other news, I think, that was that outstanding. Oh, Cain Velasquez. This might be a spoiler. He's going to be back, maybe for the Royal Rumble. So
can't wait.
Yeah.
What about Edge?
I wanted to talk about that, but I don't think it's legit because he keeps denying it.
Yes, but yeah, Edge
so did Johnny Mundo.
Oh yeah,
I didn't sign with WWE.
Edge would deny it.
You think Edge would deny it?
Oh well, yeah,
he's old school.
Yeah.
Okay, so man, I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, Danny, for coming and spending some time with us. This is the special only Facebook Live pre-show hour, 9 to 10 here. And 10 o'clock, we will not be talking about the world of pro wrestling or very little, if anything, because we have Gary Mervis joining us from Camp Good Days and Special Times, and it's that time of year. But next week, we'll have the whole hour on the air to talk about the paintings. Now you're making me have to dress up, so I'm going to have to get out the old iron and do some ironing before we come in next week.
No, we're not that fancy.
I will wish you guys all a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays coming up. If you're into Hanukkah, we're in the midst of Hanukkah right now as we speak, and all the other great holidays that are going on. And still, the Santa Claus holiday thing is right next door here to us in the building, too. You can see out there and see the domes and the heated merchandise areas and stuff, and go spend some money on people you love, and if you don't have anybody to spend money on, then, you know.
You can send it to us.
Yeah, or think of wonderful things. But we got to get out of here. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.